Of mankind,
Atha,
therefore, therefore
asandam
pasandam etesam
asrita
asrita
have taken shelter. Bhrigu Muni continued, since you blasting the Vedas and the Brahmanas who are following the Vedic principles, it is understood that you have already taken shelter of the doctrine of atheism. Therefore, Bhrigu Muni and cursing Nandishvara said that not only would they be degraded as atheists because of this curse, but they had already fallen to the standard of atheism because they had blasting the Vedas, which are the source of human civilization. Human civilization is based on qualitative divisions of social order, namely the intelligent class, martial class, productive class, and laborer class. The Vedas provide the right direction for advancing of spiritual cultivation, economic development, and regulating the principle of sense gratification, so that ultimately one may be liberated from material contamination to his real state of spiritual identification. As long as one is in the contamination of material existence, one changes bodies from the aquatics up to the position of Brahma, but the human form of life is the highest perfection of life in the material world. The Vedas give directions by which to elevate oneself to the next level. The Vedas are the mother for such instructions, and the Brahmanas are persons who are in knowledge of the Vedas and the father. Thus, if one blasphemes the Vedas and Brahmanas, naturally one goes down to the status of atheism. The exact word used in Sanskrit is nastika, which refers to one who does not believe in the Vedas but manufactures some concocted system of religion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that the followers of the Buddhist system of religion are Nastikas. In order to establish the doctrine of non-violence, Lord Buddha flatly refused to believe in the Vedas, and thus later on Shankaracharya stopped the system of religion in India and forced it to go outside India. Here it is stated, Brahmata Brahmanan. Brahma means the Vedas. Aham Brahmasmi means I am in full knowledge. The Vedic assertions that one should think that he is a Brahman or actually is a Brahman. If Brahma or Vedic spiritual science is condemned, and the masters of the spiritual science, the Brahmanas, are condemned, then where does human civilization stand? Bhrigu Muni said, It is not due to my cursing that you shall become atheists. You are already situated in the principle of atheism. Therefore, you are condemned. Next 31, the Vedas give the eternal regulator principles for auspicious advancement in human civilization, which has been rigidly followed in the past. The strong evidence of this principle is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is called Janardana, the well-wisher of all living entities. Report in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has claimed that he is the father of all living entities regardless of form. There are 8,400,000 different species of life forms, and Lord Krishna claims that he is the father of all. Because the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are all sons of the Lord, and for their benefit, because they are hovering under the impression they can lord it over material nature, the Vedas are given to them for their guidance. Therefore, the Vedas are called Aparusheya, for they are not written by any man or demigod, including the first living creature, Brahma. Brahma is not the creator or author of the Vedas. He is also one of the living beings in this material world. Therefore, he does not have the power to write or speak the Vedas independently. Every living entity within this material world is subject to four deficiencies. He commits mistakes, he accepts one thing for another, he cheats, and he has imperfect senses. The Vedas, however, are not written by any living creature within this material world. Therefore, they are said to be aparusheya. No one can trace out the history of the Vedas. Of course, modern human civilization has no chronological history of the world or the universe, and it cannot present actual historical facts older than 3,000 years. But no one has traced out when the Vedas were written, because they were never written by any living being within this material world. All other systems of knowledge are defective because they have been written or spoken by men or demigods who are products of this material creation. But Bhagavad Gita is a parosheya, for it was not spoken by any human being or any demigod in this material world. It was spoken by Lord Krishna, who is beyond the material creation. That is accepted by such scholars as Shankaracharya, not to speak of others. Other acharyas such as Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya. Shankaracharya has Except that Narayana and Krishna are transcendental, and in Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna has established Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate. I am the origin of everything, everything emanates from me. This material creation, including Brahma and Shiva and all the demigods, has been created by him, where everything is emanating from him. He also says that the purpose of all the Vedas is to understand him. He is the original Veda Vit, or knower of the Vedas, and Vedanta Krit, compiler of Vedanta. Brahma is not the compiler of the Vedas. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is established a name Brahma Hrida. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of God, had instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge through his heart. Therefore, the evidence that Vedic knowledge is free from the defects of mistakes, illusions, cheating, and imperfections is that it was spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, and has thus been followed from time immemorial, beginning from Brahma. The Vedic religion or principles of the Vedas have been followed by the highly cultured population of India since time immemorial. No one can trace out the history of Vedic religion. Therefore, it is Sanatana. Any blasphemy against the Vedas is calculated to be atheism. The Vedas are described as setu, which means a bridge. If one wants to attain a spiritual existence, one has to cross an ocean of nations. The Vedas are the bridge by which to cross such a great ocean. The Vedas describe how to divide the human race into four divisions according to quality and working capacity. This is a very scientific system, and it is also Sanatana, for no one can trace out its history, and it has no dissolution. No one can stop the system of varna and ashram or the caste divisions. For example, whether or not one accepts the name Brahmana, there is a class in society which is known as intelligent class and which is interested in spiritual understanding and philosophy. Similarly, there is a class of men who are interested in administration and in ruling others. In the Vedic system, there are materially spirited men also. Martially spirited men are called Kshatriya. Similarly, everywhere, there is a class of men who are interested in economic development, business, industry, and money-making. They are called Vaishyas. And there is another class who are neither intelligent nor martially spirited nor endowed with capacity for economic development, but who simply can serve others. They are called sudras, or laborer class. This system is Sanatana. It comes from time immemorial, and it will continue in the same way. There is no power in the world which can stop it. Therefore, since this Sanatana Dharma system is eternal, one can elevate himself to the highest standard of spiritual life by following the Vedic principles. It is stated that formerly the sages followed the system. Therefore, to follow the Vedic system is to follow the standard etiquette of society. For the followers of Lord Shiva, who are drunkards, who are addicted to intoxicants and sex life, who do not bathe and smoke ganja, are against all human etiquette. The conclusion is the persons who rebel against the Vedic principles are themselves the evidence that the Vedas are authoritative, because by not following the Vedic principles they become like animals. Such animalistic persons are themselves evidence of the supremacy of the Vedic regulations. Translation, Bhrigu Muni continues, since you blaspheme the Vedas and the Brahmanas, who are followers of the Vedic principle, it is understood that you have already taken shelter of the doctrine of atheism. The Vedas give the eternal regulative principles for auspicious advancement in human civilization, which has been rigidly followed in the past. Strong evidence of this principle is the Supreme Personality of God, who is called Janardana, the well-wisher of all living entities. So Bhrigu Muni here continues to describe the situation of Lord Shiva's followers. Already he has condemned them and cursed them to a low existence and to be Pashandis. Now he says here that already you are, I don't have to curse you, but you've already come into this position by the way in which you speak. So Nandishwar had actually insulted the Brahmanas, and not only cursed them, but he insulted them in saying they are not following the instructions properly. So we see that even in bhakti there is the aparad of blaspheming the Vedas, Shruti Shastra Ninda. This is one of the offenses, the fourth offense in chanting the name of the Lord, Namaparadas. So this means that offending the Vedas is a aparadha. Normally, however, not just Nandishwar, but even there is a tendency of those practicing bhakti to condemn the Vedas. Because we see Lord Chaitanya says all this, these rituals are useless, and Bhagavatam condemns karma, that part of the Vedas. And karma from the section of the Vedas is condemned. Brahmanas are condemned. In the past times of Krishna, the Brahmanas were doing sacrifice and they didn't offer anything to Krishna and Balaram. And the wives of the Brahmanas were eager to give them. So this shows how the Brahmanas don't recognize Krishna and they are following the Vedas. So sometimes we see even the Vaishnavas tend to criticize the Vedas. And of course in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also condemns the flowery words of the Vedas. Yet we see that Shruti Shastra Nanda is one of the offenses to the holy name. We shouldn't criticize the Vedas. Of course, one can take Shruti Shastra as meaning not the Vedas as such, but Shastra in general, so we shouldn't criticize Bhagavatam or other Vaishnava works. But actually the word used is Shruti, and Shruti refers under normal circumstances to the Vedas, whereas Purans are called Smriti. So therefore the actual wording is don't offend the Vedas. How do we understand this? So though Bhagavatam condemns all cheating religions and rejects them, at the same time we do see that Bhagavatam actually describes karma, jnana, and yoga besides bhakti, and so does Bhagavad Gita. So they don't condemn them, they understand that these are also mentioned in the Vedic literatures. At the same time, they clearly know that the effective process for the people of Kali Yuga is bhakti alone and not the other processes. So therefore they are rejected in that grounds. This does not mean that the Bhagavatam rejects the Vedas, but understanding is those processes are no longer effective for us at this particular time, so therefore they are condemned. So in this way, the Bhagavatam does not condemn the Vedas or the Shruti, but it condemns following particular paths mentioned in the Vedas because they're not practical in this age. So why are they there? They're there because in previous ages some people could follow this system. They could follow karma. As Prabhupada mentions here, the process of varnashram is there. And is also eternal, an eternal principle mentioned in the Vedas. So some people can follow this system and become purified. But at the same time we understand this is not the final process, because this is only an arrangement for the material world. And beyond karma we have jnana, yoga, and bhakti. So these processes are there, but they are not complete processes. They are partial only. Simply to do one process without bhakti is useless, because it will not lead you to the ultimate goal in itself. Bhakti, however, will lead one to the final goal, and the others will not. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, it is advisable simply to follow the final process and not be involved in the other processes. So therefore, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita do not condemn the Vedas, but they point out it is not practical to follow these the processes mentioned in the Vedas at this particular time. So respect is given to the Vedas because not only do they contain karma, jnana, and yoga, but they also contain bhakti. So we have to understand the purport of the Vedas and take the final conclusion. So in this way the conclusion of the Vedas is accepted, and that is magnified and made very clear in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. So generally we study these works rather than the Vedas, because it brings up the conclusion much clearer. Nevertheless, the Vaishnavas do not reject the Vedas. We also accept the Vedas. So there is no Shruti Shastra Ninda on the part of the Vaishnavas. Simply we do not accept those processes as practical for this age. So here Bhrigu Muni is saying that already the followers of the Lord Shiva are condemned because they have already rejected the Vedas and the Vedic principles. So there's no need to actually curse them into a lower existence because the tendency is that. So because many of the followers of Lord Shiva are in Tamagun, the propensity to deviate is much more. Those who are truly brahminical, because of their nature, which is search for knowledge, they will not deviate. And they will adhere, and they will understand the conclusion of the Veda. Therefore, those in Tamagun who are followers of the Lord Shiva are more likely to deviate, even from the instructions of Lord Shiva, and to concoct new things which are counter to the religious principles. So, in this way, they're in an inferior position for that reason. Therefore, the followers of Lord Shiva should be very careful that if they want to worship him, yes, it is also approved in the Puranas, the Shiva Purana, the Linga Purana, the Skanda Purana, etc. Glorified worship of Lord Shiva, but they will have to do it according to principles, according to the rules set out in the scriptures, not to deviate. If they do so, then they become purified. Why? Because they worship Lord Shiva, and Shiva is a representative of the Supreme Lord. So they become purified if they follow properly. So in this way we'll see that people are likely to deviate. Similarly, we'll see in the stories in the Bhagavata how different demons deviate. They worship Lord Shiva and they become big demons and they deviate. Or the followers of Kali in the story of Jat Bharat, again, deeply in the mode of ignorance, and therefore they offer Jat Bharat as a human sacrifice to Kali. And then Kali actually becomes angry and kills them all. So she's not pleased with the conduct of the so-called followers. So that is a concocted type of worship. So similar to the worship of Kali and Durga, there is worship of Shiva, which is also concocted and not really pleasing to Shiva, because these people are influenced by the modes of Tamagun and therefore even deviate from the instructions to be in the scriptures which recommend worship of Lord Shiva. So that is the position they're in. So therefore one has to be very careful to work within the rules of scripture. So if one is in the gunas, that is difficult because the gunas contaminate us. So therefore our interpretation of the scriptures will also be tainted with gunas, because we all see in terms of gunas. To accommodate that, we have shastras for Tamagun people, for Rajagun people, and Satagun people. The different Puranas are written for different types of people. And hopefully people will follow those things. However, Narada Muni has rejected that completely. I said it's not going to work. In Kali Yuga, the people will not be able to be intelligent enough to follow these systems properly. And that, of course, is indicated here also. So the Tamagun people will not advance by following the principles mentioned in those Puranas. They'll become stuck and corrupted. So, therefore, Vedavyas rejected all that work of Vedavyas and said you have to simply show final conclusion of bhakti to Krishna. So that is what is recommended in Bhagavata. That is what is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Reject all other dharmas, simply do bhakti. To get sidetracked by these other dharmas is actually dangerous. Better to simply perfectly execute bhakti, and one will be completely successful in life. So that is the final conclusion.
Hmm?
Well, not the whole Vedas, because otherwise we accept the Vedas as authority. Parts of the Vedas deal with karma. So that is the material part. Yeah, and then moksha is jnana and yoga.